You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. It's so good to say welcome, particularly to our friend and regular featured guest about this time, Diana West, a syndicated columnist for many, many years, these days a superb blogger at dianawest.net. You can also find her writings at the Daily Caller from time to time and elsewhere. She is also the author of two superb and best-selling books, Death of the Grown-Up and American Betrayal. Diana, it's good to have you back. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Well, I wanted to cover a couple of things with you. I was struck by a piece that Victor Davis Hanson had in National Review yesterday, I believe, in which he went through a bill of particulars, a very nice sort of one-stop shopping on all of the curious coincidences involving the Robert Mueller investigation of the Trump so-called collusion allegations, and how it really seems, I think it's no exaggeration to say, this looks an awful lot like the Hillary Rodham Clinton 2016 campaign doing business as a special counsel's office. What is up with that?
To quote Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch, shut it down. This investigation, so-called, has been compromised from the start, just simply by virtue of the very close career-long relationship between Special Counsel Mueller and former FBI Director James Comey. The more we find out about the interlocking relationships and the behavior and attitudes of the prosecutors involved, the more this becomes, yes, a Hillary Clinton 2.0, an Obama administration 2.0. I mean, this becomes a political exercise, not an investigation on behalf of the American people. And I think that is the basic foundational flaw of what we're watching. And it becomes incumbent upon President Trump to fire Robert Mueller for all of these reasons. He needs to make a case, put it all together, and explain why this is not in the interest of the American people, but in the interest of raw, naked Democratic politics.
You know, the Wall Street Journal yesterday commented that these guys are digging their own graves. Let them keep digging. It's an interesting public policy question, which way to go. Diana, I wanted to switch gears and talk with you about a topic that I know is very much on your mind and on mine, and that is what seems to be the unraveling of Western civilization in Europe in the face of, well, what the perps, I guess you might call them, call the Hijra, the migration, the mass migration of Muslims, not all of whom, but many of whom seem to be bringing with them the traditions of Sharia supremacism and conquest of Europe that is changing it before our eyes. The man you admire, as do I, Geert Wilders, a parliamentarian in the Netherlands, a leading force there now, standing up against all of this, is warning that demographic catastrophe is at hand and it's time for Europe to get tough. Talk a little bit about what's happening there as you see it and whether that is still an option for Europe to get tough about all of this.
Yes, well, I think the important thing to assess here is that the Muslims coming into Europe and others are not the change agents that we have to worry about. The change agents are the European Union officials, commissioners, unelected European Union commissioners, that is, and also elected governments across the Eurocrat and the elected governments across Europe. So this does reflect a popular sentiment to a great extent of the indigenous populations who have decided to replace themselves. They have decided to take the ideological extremism of utopian multicultural mixing of the world and live it. And this is much to the distress of probably, say, 20 to 30-40% of various localities across Europe who would like their cultures and religion survive. So it is a concept. Unfortunately, it is proven to be, in most of these countries, almost all of them, a minority concept or a concept that is suppressed by the mainstream, by the prevailing powers of politics and communications, so that it has become absolutely demonized and people do not act or vote on it. So people have been essentially convinced to extinguish themselves, or they partake in it.
That sounds so over the top, Dinah West, that they're going to extinguish themselves. And yet we talked yesterday with Daniel Greenfield about some examples of what is happening, and there are so many. He mentioned in particular, you know, the emergence of what are, let's call them what they are, no-go zones. Rahim Kassam has been documenting them, among others. Rampant anti-Semitism and increasingly constriction of free speech. Our friend Elizabeth Sabadish-Wolf, as we talked about last week, was in town warning of what's happening in Austria, Germany, France, and elsewhere. So when you say extinguishing themselves, allowing Western civ to go down the tubes, what should those of us in this country across the pond be making of all of this that supports what seems to be a pretty hyperbolic statement?
I don't think it's hyperbolic in any sense, because Western civilization does not coexist with Islam inside any national boundary. It never has. As we look across the history of Islamic expansionism throughout the centuries across the continents, it does not coexist with other cultures. It does extinguish them, it does incorporate them, or it does suppress them. So it's actually, I think, a fairly non-hyperbolic statement in terms of what we can learn from historical and contemporary example. So what we should take from that, because our great expanse as a nation, our physical expanse, our demographic situation as it stands right now, we are not necessarily on the same path, but we certainly must take the precaution of halting Islamic immigration. There's just no other way around it when you understand that these, even in Europe, we are looking at very small minorities, no more than, say, 10% of a nation, 15% at the height, maybe tipping toward 18% in France, something like that, 18%. But when we see the switch in the culture, for example, taking England, which has been switched for some years now with a Muslim population that overall does not seem to go above 5%, we understand that there is a very aggressive effort on the part of Muslim communities, mostly in cities and other municipalities, to advance the precepts and cultural norms of Sharia. And this is where you do not find coexistence possible. So the more you import Sharia through Islamic immigration, the more you are extinguishing your own rights, your own society, and indeed the plurality of societies and cultures that do coexist alongside each other. It's not like any of these countries are not monocultural, truly. I mean, they are the product of multiculturalism down through the centuries, whether it's Saxons and Normans, etc. I mean, we're looking at a melting pot.
Dinah, we have to leave it at that, I'm afraid. But I did want to just mention that it seems as though the Trump administration is about to unveil a new national security strategy. The national security advisor to the president, H.R. McMaster, gave some glimpses of what it might say. Specifically, it seems as though he has come around to the president's view that there is actually such a thing as a radical Islamic ideology. I think Sharia is what its adherents call it. But I think it's too little, too late, and particularly his comment to the effect that there are some Muslim Brotherhood folks that we can do business with, or words to that effect, suggests that he has got to go. But so do we. Diana, thank you so much. It's great to talk with you. We'll look forward to doing so again next week. In the meantime, keep up the terrific work you do at The Daily Caller, and of course at dianawest.net. Check it out, folks.